Mike and Rihanna, yeah, they're playing some game. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if this all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-N-B. Mike and Rihanna, yeah, they're playing some game. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if this all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-N-B.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the RHAPB&B, a Survivor Fun and Games podcast. My name is Mike Bloom, here to talk about episode 12 of Survivor 35 and all the fix-ins, to quote host Jeff Probst. I am joined by a great panel of guests, but a little bit of a deviation from our normal status quo. First, Liana Boris is not in residence at the B&B this week. As you may know, Liana was there in Austin for the Austin Know-It-Alls last week, but a little bit of bad weather, unfortunately, led her to be grounded at the moment. She is stranded in Texas for the weekend, but in her place, we have brought in someone who you have not heard on the B&B, but you definitely heard of his work through the B&B. He's our requisite, I guess we'll use the term head writer. You've heard him before on the voicemails this season, as well as all the great work he does on the tribe, and especially the Survivor Historians. Paul Osleson is our fill-in co-host for the week. Hey, Paul, how's it going?
Hey, how's it going, Mike? I just want to highlight the irony of this, is that the person flying from Texas through Atlanta to get to New Orleans was stopped by a snowstorm, but I'm calling to you from sunny 50 degrees Montana right now. So there's something wrong about this.
Yeah, if there's any indication that we are living in the upside down in the year 2017, I think that is literally the indication. But with Paul filling in, we needed another B to fill in the B&B moniker, and I couldn't think of a better person to do it. She's a big podcaster here on reality TV Wrap Ups, as well as a Survivor writer for My Entertainment World. Lita Brillman, welcome to the B&B.
Thank you. I like the idea that I was not originally going to be the guest on here, but Liana couldn't be here, and you're like, crap, we need someone whose last name starts with a B.
Yeah, I don't know who else I would have thought of. Or else I would have had to ask my next guest to like change their name temporarily to B.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sound method of booking guests, I understand. So very honored to be here just on merit of my last name.
Absolutely. Alliteration really carries you far in this world. Well, as per usual, Lita, we'd love to get from your perspective. Obviously, you're a big Survivor fan. You wouldn't be here if you weren't. But what is your Survivor history? When did you start watching the show?
So I am a purist. My parents started watching Borneo season one, episode one, and I was 5 years old. So I didn't really like so much as watch it as like get, they would call me in when there was a challenge, cause I thought that those were really exciting. Watching a bunch of grownups talk on a beach was not really my, my favorite thing. I did skip Africa. My mom didn't like, Lex with all the tattoos. She didn't like me seeing that. but it was like maybe Marquesas, the peeing on John Carroll's hand with KVO that I like remember being like, oh yeah, I like this. You know, I was like 7 or 8.
I like how that was not a detraction point for your mother, but Lex is purely the idea of him covered with tattoos was like, oh no, we need to put the hardcore metaphoric V chip on this program right now.
Urination on each other is totally fine.
Yeah. that was the parental guidance. So yeah, I watched all the way until like Token Sheens without ever missing an episode, and then kind of like I was in high school, no one I knew watched it, like I just kind of felt like insecure about it, so I didn't watch for a few years. And then my freshman year of college, I was like going through such a terrible adjustment period, like not happy, I didn't know anyone at my college, and I just watched TV all the time, and I happened to have the TV on during a commercial for Survivor Kagyan was going to come on, and I was like, well, I'm not doing anything Wednesday night, this, you know, I used to really like this. So then I got so far into it that discovered RHAP through my friend a little bit later. So, yeah. And then I went back and watched all of the seasons that I missed, obviously.
I was going to say, Cagayan is your Nicaragua for a lot of our other guests. It's just I don't know what it is about these seasons in the 20s, but they seem to be like good access points to hook people back into the show.
Yeah, well, it was like weird to go back and rewatch the seasons that I missed. It's a weird era to watch from Samoa to Blood versus Water. It's like the best seasons and like the worst absolute worst seasons, like a whole stretch of them.
Yeah, it's the Charles Dickens stretch. It's the best of times and it's the worst of times, truly.
Yeah, the blurst of times.
Well, I was going to ask for her Gretchen story, but if she was only five, then I don't know what she would recall.
Yeah,
from
did
that
you
episode.
Know who Gretchen was? I don't know if you remember her challenge performances. I'm assuming no. That's what you would base your memory off of.
No, I do not remember. I do now, but I don't remember as a child knowing who Gretchen was.
It's funny because you're like my brother's age, my younger brother, and it was like the same type of thing where he says he watched from season one, but really. He was like a kindergartner, so it was kind of like in and out of the room type of watching experience.
Yeah, I guess I should distinguish in these questions in the future between when did you start watching the show and when do you first remember watching the show?
Yeah, I mean, I remember first being obsessed with it around Vanuatu Palau because the Leanne blindside was the first time I really like grasped like a strategic moment, and then I was completely obsessed with Stephanie because I was a 10-year-old girl, so... Those two seasons.
I mean, there were a lot of people obsessed with Stephanie of all ages and genders. It was Steph Fever. But let's talk about a different fever, Survivor 35 Fever. As we just finished up episode 12, I thought really, really fun episode. Just so many ups and downs between the emotional aspects of the loved one visit. And essentially what this episode focuses around is this collapse of this foursome that had formed only a couple of episodes ago over the 2-hour episode last week, and it culminating in this bananas tribal council where things are being thrown into the fire, relationships and literal objects. We get some nice game changers callbacks with all the standing up and whispering, ending with the a unanimous vote that goes completely lopsided, and Queen Lauren has officially been dethroned. Paul, what did you think about this episode overall?
It was very fun. You know, I tweeted after last week's episode that I was back in on the show. I was a little bit discouraged as we head into the merge, and it felt like we were losing all these great characters. And one of the most exciting things, I think, about the season for a lot of people was this really great cast of women coming into it that were very diverse and interesting. And to see so many of them fall right before the merge and right after the merge, I was kind of like over it. But I think as of last week, heading into this week, all the contestants left in the game, they each have some story. And even though there weren't many people besides Lauren, who I'm sure we'll all, you know, be very sad about as we talk about this episode, they all have at least some storyline going on. And there's something fun about each of them. I'm not obsessed with any of them, but there's enough intrigue going on in terms of each of their stories. And then throw on top of that, this crazy tribal council and this crazy end. I definitely haven't been enjoying myself the last two episodes. They've been a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Lena, I know that you talked with the LFC last week about your overall thoughts on the season. How does this past episode sort of contextualize those thoughts for you? Any sort of changes?
Yeah, I loved this episode. I can catch myself being a little results oriented with like how much I like an episode based on who goes home. But we understood completely, like, thank you, editors. We understood why this happened, why the votes went the way they did, and then why the person who went home, without compromising some of those, relationship moments. We did compromise a reward challenge. They were like, we're gonna phone it in for this so that we can show more story, I guess. But, they showed all, well, maybe not all, but they showed a lot of those little conversations. It would have been easy to cut out, you know, oh, Ben gets paranoid, so he goes and tells this person this. And then, you know, Mike goes and it would have been easy to gloss over some of that and just show where they ultimately ended up. But they didn't. I loved the mad scramble. I loved the paranoia. There's some spectacularly bad gameplay this season, but I really like it in the way that I like Gabon. But this is like Gabon, but with really smart people who are just like all kind of crazy. So they're making these crazy moves, which I think is really fascinating. So I think this season just revved up the double episode, set it up, and this episode just knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, absolutely. Very weird mixed metaphors there between racing cars and hitting baseballs. But I get what you're going. I don't know sports, but I understood what you were saying there.
You don't rev up your baseball bat?
Are you auditioning to be on the show so you could, you know, spit those out at tribal council?
Yeah, all those metaphors.
I've been listening to Ryan and Mike too much. Listen, you rev up your baseball bat, you don't get invited to the prom. It's fine.
Yeah, that poor baseball star didn't get a prom date despite how revved up his bat was. Well, let's start getting into the games themselves. We're going to start this week, like we do every week with our time capsule predictions, this is going to be a fun episode in particular because Paul is here in Liana's place. As we mentioned before, just like Dr. Mike says, always have a plan B. Apparently, that's the number two rule in Survivor, even though Mike's more proficient in number ones in more way than one. But the thing is, even though Liana is absent, Paul is here quite literally in her stead. So this will be the first of many times that Paul is going to be basically impersonating Liana in a way, shape, or form. The first here where he is going to read off Liana's preseason thoughts about Lauren. They've been building for all of these weeks. Liana kept beating me week after week, and she kept saying, oh, just wait until I get to Lauren. Just wait until I get to Lauren. So I'm really excited, even though she's in absentia, to hear what she wrote about Lauren, because from what she's been building up, I cannot even imagine what she wrote.
Yeah, so this is always my, my favorite segment here, to hear what you guys wrote. So this takes an extra interesting twist. I kind of feel like I'm like the general manager or something behind the scenes of the B&B, and like, Liana called in sick, and so I have to just like kind of disgruntled come out and do all the work on the front end, and I'm not actually very good with dealing with the customers, so hopefully this isn't too awkward.
Speaking of metaphors.
Right.
Yeah, hopefully the comments box will hopefully still have some favorable reviews by the end of all of this. But as before, Paul, or Liana via Paul and myself, will read out our predictions about Lauren and Lita as the guest. It is your duty and privilege to be able to honor which one was the more accurate take. So, Paul/Liana, what did you have to say about Lauren before the season started?
All right, here we go. Sorry, Lauren. Enjoy the pre-jury trip. The Hustlers can't hustle their way through these early immunity challenges, and Lauren is the first victim. When her tribe mates vote her out, they'll say things like, I respect you, sorry I didn't get to know you, and please stop talking about horseshoe crabs. I'm excited to hear from her as the star of Josh Wiggler's First One Out series.
Wow. Called her shot there, not even for being a pre-jury boot, but flat out saying that she would be the sole subject of the last episode of Foo.
I know, but I mean Liana, am so happy this didn't come true. Lauren was so much fun to watch this season, even though her staying early cost me the promised Patrick alliance.
Yes, that's true. I mean, you take the good with the bad. Well, not surprisingly, again, based off of preseason predictions, I also had Lauren going pre-jury. Though I did not necessarily paint her in that first one out picture as much as Liana might have. I said, Lauren's difference in age and lifestyle will show immediately with the rest of her tribe. When the Hustlers lose their first challenge, the others may consider giving her a reprieve due to her fishing skills and gentle demeanor. But unfortunately, first impressions will not bode well for her, and the vote off will be as cold-blooded as a horseshoe crab.
Man,
the horseshoe crab was really something that stuck out in both of our minds, it seemed, from her preseason.
She talked, that's like her main thing in her preseason interview.
Yeah, who would have thought that, like, by the point that Lauren went out, like, the horseshoe crab stuff is the least interesting part of her now.
This is truly a time capsule back to September 2017.
All right, Lita, what are your thoughts on both of our takes? Which one, again, a little bit of a game of inches here, much like horseshoe crabs scuttling along the ocean floor, but which one would you give the point to?
I mean, I think it's interesting because apart from the crab stuff, both of your descriptions could be just cut and pasted to Katrina. So, it's not like JP or Cole went home first and you were just completely off base. It's just, kind of the wrong tribe lost and the wrong older woman archetype went home. But Mike, obviously, I have to give it to you. You both called pre-jury, but Liana planted her flag in a too small of an area for her to win that.
Perfect. I am so mad. I am so livid. Such BS.
Well, I mean, listen, if Liana had recorded her own episode of First One Out about Lauren, maybe it would have given her the point, since creativity is clearly acknowledged in this segment. But unfortunately, she did not show her work.
Yeah, don't expect me to sing like she did a couple weeks ago, because I can't do that either.
And I will say as well, I got the opportunity to interview Lauren for Parade, obviously, and I really enjoy getting to talk with her. She just seems like a really, and we've talked about this over the past several weeks, but I think one of the things that people really enjoyed about Lauren is that she's just very down to earth. and very matter of fact. And while that may pay off in some very comic moments, like when she interacts with people like Cole and Joe, she makes for a really nice conversationalist as well. So I was happy to get to talk with her specifically about her thoughts about Mike and Ben and why she pulled together that alliance in particular. So gone, but not forgotten. Certainly, Miss Lauren Rimmer.
R.I.P. Queen.
Yes, absolutely. Who would have thought that, like, the fisherwoman in her 30s would have been called queen? She would have been the requisite queen by the end of the season.
Yeah, no, it's funny with her. And I, people who know me a little bit from the tribe and stuff, they know every now and then I like to incorporate my mother and her feelings on Survivor into the show, because she is like the most casual fan that you can ever get. Like, she's seen literally every single episode, but then like just lives in the moment, forgets about the episode till the next week, and really doesn't have that much of an investment in what is going on. But she loved Lauren. And part of that was because she got her in her in the pool we do, like her like coworkers, they pull out someone random. So she got Lauren, but she really got on board with this. She really identified with her as a woman who got things done. And she's like, yeah, my girl, she's going to win this thing. And she was like so on the Lauren train. And I'm so sad I didn't get to watch this episode with her in person, because I guess she was livid during this episode. After Mike threw her idol in the fire, he said, or she said, he could burn in hell for that. So, like, for someone who really does not have an opinion on Survivor, like, Lauren stirred up a lot of feelings for her. So even when I saw her last night, I was like, how about that Survivor mom? And she was very much like, stupid Lauren and stupid, stupid Mike. So
what is it with you? What is it with you Montanans and being livid? Is that just like your motto, your state motto? I'm livid.
We live in Montana. We have to be livid.
You could burn in hell. Wow. Those are some crosswords for Mike.
I think this season, in spite, you know, for as much as a lot of people, a lot of the super fans like us were a little bit, you know, lukewarm on it for a while, I think it inspired a lot of very strong feelings in some of the more casual people, because I have really never seen my mom dislike someone as much as she disliked Joe on this season. And it was just like, I didn't hear any of his confessionals because we were both just like shouting at the TV, like, shut up. We don't want to hear you.
It's interesting because I think we've spoken about this a few weeks ago, that it really does feel like from a storytelling and an editing perspective, everyone has sort of been cast in some sort of villainous perspective at some point over the course of the season, with maybe the exception of someone like Ashley, who is rather innocuous in it all. I think Lauren in my interview with her said that she was very sweet, but actually maybe a little too sweet, and maybe implying some naivete there. But maybe that sort of is what is inspiring this, I won't use the term vitriol, but definitely some reactions, is that when you see people do these not so nice things, and when sometimes people might be portrayed in a more two-dimensional background, it gets a rise out of people.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I think there just aren't really heroes. Like, I totally see what you mean about, like, everybody has, like, a little bit of a villainous side, but at the same time, like, no one's been shown to be consistently super heroic, which is weird because we have a whole heroes tribe, but it's not like, you know, JP or Alan or anyone was being heralded as the great hero of HHH. Maybe Ben a little bit, but he's gotten so much villain side lately.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the most heroic person left is Ashley, which is crazy that, like, of a tribe with, like, you know, Olympic athletes and you know, veterans, you have a lifeguard is like the ultimate hero.
Our nation's true heroes.
Absolutely. All right. So let's move on to our first segment here. In the vein of Paris is Burning, I've got four words for you folks. The library is open. Some of you have no idea what that means. And for those of you that don't, it probably means that you have not had the pleasure of watching a little show called RuPaul's Drag Race, which did not come into my life until this past year. But every year on RuPaul's Drag Race, it's become really requisite at this point, they do what's called a reading challenge, where basically each contestant is given an opportunity to roast or read, if you will, the other contestants left in the game. Now, we had Alita on the Drag Race podcast for a few episodes this past season, and she had the opportunity to come on and read Brent and I, and She did it to filth. she basically filled the Library of Congress with all the reads that she had against Brent and I. So we figured with her coming on, it'd be a great encore to see her come on and truly read these Survivor contestants to pieces. Paul, before coming on, you told me that you have a Drag Race story on your own that's sort of tangentially connected to all of this.
Well, I know, first of all, you said the library is open. The first thing I think of is I'm married to a librarian, so that's where my mind went with this. It was not to a Drag Race show. But I've never seen the show, and I have talked, like, in the past few months, like, talking to Mike, okay, if I do jump into this, where should I jump into it? At some point, I feel like I would get a lot out of the show, and it seems like something that's really fun. But just yesterday, so I teach high school German, and this kid came up to me after school, and he was like, so, yeah, I know you probably watch RuPaul's Drag Race, right? I'm like, what? I'm like, no. And he's like, well, I just know, like, you watch Project Runway. And I'm like, what? No, I don't. And so we had to, like, trace this whole thing back to, like, at the beginning of the year, like, when you teach how to say goodbye in German, like, Auf Wiedersehen, that's what Heidi Klum says when she kicks people off the show, okay? Just because I know the exit of the show doesn't mean I watch it. So, I mean, maybe that was my own fault there. So, anyway, he made all these jumps that I, too, then was this huge fan of RuPaul's Drag Race. And he was explaining that he had had this dream about Krampus had turned into this. He was telling me about one of these queens from the drag show, and you would know who these people are, and I don't. He was telling me this whole thing, how there should be a challenge on the show as they have to dress up like Krampus or something. I don't know. It was this. I was like, very much could not keep up with the conversation. So then as soon as I, you know, became Liana this week and saw that this is what we were doing, I was like, oh, how fitting. I was actually thinking about this show last night.
Oh, my God. A bunch of queens just went on a tour called Christmas Queens. And now I really want the sequel Krampus Queens.
Yes.
What would that involve? Just getting like, I mean, I'll admit, I don't really know too much about this idea of Krampus. I know it was a movie. Neither. Is it just like it's sort of like a Christmas goblin or something?
Well, I've been teaching this a lot this past week, Mike, so I can let you know on this. So it's Krampus is an Austrian tradition where on the 6th of December, St. Nicholas comes around and puts candy and chocolates and little goodies in all the good kids' shoes. You leave your shoes by the door. And what the parents threaten, who also comes with St. Nicholas, is his friend Krampus, who's this like half goat, half demon. And he has fur and stuff. And he comes and like his threat is that he brings like a sack and some sticks. And if you're bad, he'll hit you with the sticks or even throw you in his bag and then like beat the bag with the sticks.
Why is Santa friends with this person?
Yeah, I was going to say, what circles is Santa running in?
Yeah. Right. Do they meet in college?
Like this is like his like Freddy can't shake, like it's been too long, you can't tell him to get lost. So yeah, so anyway, and the Austrian version of this you know legend is that it's Krampus, and so he's like very intense. And I think where this came from was that I was showing all these like pictures that depicted of Saint Nicholas and Krampus, and there's one where the way that Krampus is standing is in a slightly seductive pose. Someone's like, wow, that looks seductive. And it was kind of like his hip was popped a little bit, so I feel like that's maybe then where this kind of spiraled into something to do with RuPaul's Drag Race.
In 2018, I want Santa to love himself enough to cut the toxic people out of his life.
Absolutely. You don't need to keep him on as a side piece. You're good on your own, Santa. Can we think about, like, what do you think would be an equivalent of Santa and Krampus from Survivor Pass? Like, I guess who's a pair where, like, one can be really nice and sweet and the other one is the one that can hit you around with a stick?
I was gonna say Courtney and Sandro, but they're both
yeah, exactly.
They're both Krampus.
They're both Krampus.
They're both cuter Krampuses. Yeah,
yeah.
It was kind of like, I feel like that was like now it does not hold up at all, but back when, you know, the Australian Outback was airing, you had like Amber and you had Jerry. It was like, Amber's so nice and sweet. Why is she hanging out with Jerry so much?
Maybe like Scott Pollard and Ty were buddies for a minute.
Yeah, Scott kind of looks like Krampus, actually.
I like this. The biggest, tallest Krampus you could possibly imagine.
Krampus is pretty tall, and then when we teach this in class, there's this video, you can probably just Google it, looking for like Krampus and type Tobias, and it's like, or Tobias, I guess. And it's like this little boy in this like Austrian restaurant, and they have this guy dressed up as Krampus, and they're teaching him a lesson, and they're like kind of hitting him lightly with sticks. And this kid is like just losing his mind, screaming and crying. And then he screams that he like has like gone to the bathroom in his pants because he's so scared by this big Krampus guy. So,
oh, I was hoping Krampus Tobias would be Krampus as a never nude.
Yes, exactly. Crying to the kid's crying to himself in the shower. But this totally makes sense because now Scott Pollard Krampus was saying, oh, you voted out Nick. Now I'm going to teach you a lesson by dumping water on the fire.
That's his best friend.
Oh, my God. Who knew this, Scott? This, we totally just broke ground on this. Scott Pollard was the first Krampus to ever compete on Survivor.
Well, I wonder if they're going to, you know, continue that archetype.
Survivor heroes versus healers versus Krampus.
Paging Angie, get a Krampus as one of your stereo or one of your archetypes, please.
All right. Well, we've done enough reading of one Survivor contestant, the Survivor Krampus wrong. Let's talk about these contestants in particular. So I figured how we would do this is we'll sort of go back and forth. So you have each, by this I mean Lita and again Liana via the mouthpiece of Paul, have prepared reads for each of the six remaining contestants. We are counting Lauren out of this because she's had enough of a week. She deserves some respite from all shade thrown her direction. And then we're gonna see if these contestants will get roasted alive. I guess I'll serve as the impartial RuPaul and determine who's won this mini challenge by the end of it.
Okay, great.
All right, Duke Bloom, lead us into this.
Yes, perfect. Such good pizza with Josh the other night. I loved it. All right, so let's start with you, Lita. Let's see. Who would you like to start with?
You know what? Let's just go right in. Let's start with Ben.
All right. What do you have to say about Ben?
Well, first, before I say anything about anyone, I don't want any Survivor contestants getting wind of this and getting mad at me. And if they haven't seen Drag Race, there's no crying and reading. Okay. Unless you're Alexis, don't be an Alexis Michelle. Okay. There are some contestants in here. One contestant in here that I genuinely love. So I don't want anybody getting mad at me. Reading is what, Mike?
Fundamental.
So
fundamental.
All of you taking after your favorite show.
Yeah. So this is all out of love and respect. That said, Ben Driebergen, you've got such a bright future ahead of you. I mean, you're short-tempered, rude to women, and a total hypocrite. If Survivor doesn't work out for you, you can always run for Congress as a Republican.
Oh, timely. Paul, what do you have to say about Ben?
You mean Liana?
Yes, Liana. What did you have?
I guess please, I do not want this to ever be edited out of context. That Paul said this. This is Liana.
Okay? All right. So. Well, we know that the B&B is like the Ouija board of podcasts where you can call upon people who aren't even on the podcast. So, Liana, what did you have to say about Ben?
Ben, I don't know what's... okay. Sorry. Give me a second. It's also like I didn't actually reword these. Like they're written like talking about the person, so I have to kind of like quickly like change it as I'm reading this. Okay. Ben, I don't know what's bigger, the wedge between you and your tribe mates or the gap between your two front teeth.
Ooh. Very Jed Hildebrand insults of you with the dentistry going on. All right, well, let's move on to Ben's rival in this episode, friend turned foe in Chrissy, who I know that Lita loves. Lita, what do you have to say about Chrissy?
I do. I'm sorry, Chrissy. I love you. Chrissy, everyone is saying that you don't like women, you're unlikable, and you're an insufferable know-it-all, but they're wrong. I don't think you don't like women. I'm sorry, ooh, Chrissy, but you are so white and privileged that during that Outback steak reward, I heard what you were really whispering to Ben was, can I speak to a manager?
All right, Liana, what'd you have to say about Chrissy?
Chrissy, if we ever lose the machete, we can use your teeth to cut the bamboo.
What is this about teeth, Liana?
So much teeth.
I'm really into teeth. Like you said, my favorite contestant is Jed from Survivor Thailand. I love dentists.
Okay, let's move on. Lita, what'd you have to say about Ashley?
Okay. Ashley, bitch, who? Okay. Ashley, you are truly next level milquetoast when I struggle this much to come up with a read for you. I read the BB19 cast, for God's sake. Anyway, girl, you are so obsessed with building your resume, so I checked your LinkedIn and your only endorsements were for basicness and terrible taste in men. Get it?
Because wow.
JP sucks. All right. That was my worst one. She
what about what about Devin though? Does that help repudiate her taste a little bit?
She doesn't have a showmance with Devin.
I don't know. I've been listening to all these like secret scenes over the past week, and Ben's big plan is to he wanted to, I guess, draw the votes onto himself to get rid of Lauren. But I guess his next part of the plan is to try to really paint Devin and Lauren as a power couple. He was talking about
Devin and Lauren or
Devin and Ashley.
I was like, well, that plan done for him.
Went out the window there, but I guess it's he wants to sort of because of the massage stuff, he wants to like paint them as like a Lady and the Tramp-esque couple now.
Who's the okay? I mean they're both like beach people, right? Like I don't think one of them's like a lady and a tramp.
They're not shelter people. They're definitely beach people. all right, Paul, what did Liana have to say about Ashley?
Ashley, you were so upset when Joe called you a goat. At least goats look cute in HD.
I was going to say, at least goats have better teeth.
That was implied in it, but mixing it up a little bit. Again, all opinions expressed here are those of Liana, Boris, and no one else.
All right, Lita, let's go with Ashley's, I guess, soon-to-be framed showman's partner. What did you have to say about Devin?
Devin, I know some people may think that you're seem like a dumb California slacker, but you've actually accomplished a lot in your life that people don't know about. I mean, it's amazing that at such a young age, you managed to sell your life rights so that Keanu Reeves could play you in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Devin, you are like a gorgeous painting, except that paintings actually have a perspective. But you're beautiful to look at and have absolutely no business speaking.
Wow.
All of mine are like multiple part AP prompts.
I like it. You're like squeezing them all into one. All right.
I'm short and to the point. You have bad teeth.
Was that what it was?
No.
Okay.
This is actually my longest one, I think. So buckle up. Devin, you speak so slowly. You must have taken an Ambien enema before coming out on Survivor. Oh, no, probably not, because you can't fit both that and Ashley up your ass.
Oh my god.
We've moved away from the teeth, now we're on talking about the ass, but
yeah, just trying to move from one side of the body to the other.
Very physical and literal, like really about the body.
All right, let's finish strong here, ending with two quite the characters. Let's start with Ryan. Liana, or we'll go back to Lita. What did you have to say about Ryan?
All right. These last couple are also kind of two-parters. Ryan, I think one of the amazing things about Survivor is that it can inspire people of all different backgrounds to follow their dreams. For example, you've inspired a new generation of half-goblin, half-badger men that they too can have a truly absurd amount of unwarranted confidence. I mean, I know you think you're funny, and I'm not saying your sense of humor is wooden. I'm just saying Jason Siska might mistake it for a hidden immunity idol.
Wow. You were like almost put him as like a, he's sort of like a Krampus offshoot if he's a half badger, half goat. Is that what you said?
Half goblin.
Okay. Yeah.
Short.
So he could be like related to, yeah, he's quite the opposite of, he's the black sheep of the Scott Pollard Krampus family, I guess.
You don't want to be the black sheep of the Krampus family who are already goat demons.
That's true. All right. Liana, what did you have to say about Ryan?
Ryan, for someone who theoretically has a great social game, you think you wouldn't need to keep forcing people to look at what's in your pants.
Oh, no.
All right. I like that. Again, focusing very anatomy-centric, moving around from the posterior to the anterior. I'm following the body path that Liana is taking here. God only knows where it's going to finish up here with Mike. But Lita, what did you definitely did not mince words when you were talking about what Mike did last week with the LFC. This week, Mike did even more shenanigans, complete with throwing half of a hidden immunity idol into the fire. What did you have to say about Mike?
Mike, I think it's so great that you work to help men overcome erectile dysfunction. I mean, you know what they say, those who can't do practice medicine? I mean, it does seem like you're compensating for something out there, Mike. I've never seen that kind of baseless masculinity from a dude who looks like if Peter Pettigrew taught Hebrew school.
Oh, God!
Do people go like, oh, or like, what's the, like the, I mean, I know because I watch it all the time, but I forget.
Paul, I mean, you're the super fan. You tell us.
Right. Because I feel like I need to like snap or clap or
yeah,
like,
I feel like I've snapped. I don't know if snaps like translate to a podcast, but I feel like you need to, I feel like we just insert, like, if people just want to close their eyes and imagine the famous Maddie gif of everyone else being shocked and him smiling like that, I feel like that's a good reaction gif to Lita's last statement there.
I wish I could tongue pop, but I can't. That would be the appropriate reaction to Alyssa Edwards. Yes. Like,
there you go. I got like a little smidge of that.
Or stick your long pointed Krampus tongue out and kind of.
Oh, that's a Krampus tongue pop.
Tis the season, Duke Bloom.
All right, Liana, finish things off. What did you have to say about Mike?
Dr. Mike, you say you're the best dick doctor in all of Florida, but you seem to have left Lady Liberty unsatisfied.
Oh, no, no, that, no, I don't want to connect that noise with that last statement.
Oh, no. Krampus says, move out the way.
Oh my God! Ooh,
I'm glad
we ended on Mike, because both of those were bad. Oh, I want to call it a tie, but then you'd have to go to Rocks. So I'm not entirely sure if we want to do that.
Again, you could just pick the person who's actually here, and then no one has to tell Liana to her face.
Hey,
that
I don't
want to
win
so.
By default. Also, Mike, I have one for you, but I feel like this will sway the jury.
No, let me hear it. I've got skin. I don't know if it's thin or thick, but I've got skin. Let me hear it.
All right. Well, on that note, Mike, you're a neurotic Jew who works as a writer in the entertainment industry. I'm not sure which you have less of, self-esteem or listeners of the RHAP B&B.
Ooh.
Remember that one?
Yeah, that's a long-seated call. Thank you, Krampus. That was a long-seated callback from the joke I made at the American Ninja Warriors expense. So purely from a callback perspective, on top of that, Peter Pettigrew taught Hebrew school, which bowled me over, much like Jason in Survivor Samoa. I'm going to go with Lita as the winner of the first ever B&B reading challenge.
Oh, I'm so honored. I can't wait for all of the survivors to hear about this and love me forever.
Burn me next, or read me next. Read me next.
I had some for Liana, but she's not here.
No, no, this is even better.
Yeah.
Is
that
fair? That's
kind of cheap if she's not actually here.
Yeah, she's not here to defend herself.
She's going
to
hear this like on her. She's going to be in such a pissed off mood on her like delayed by 2-day flight back home. And then she's going to be hearing us making fun of her. So
to be fair, listening to people make fun of you without you having a chance to rebut on air is pretty much what the survivors are going through, right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
we're
Liana
just playing
gets
through the ringer.
She could have the real survivor experience.
All right. Well, maybe we can we'll save those for another time when Liana is actually on the podcast. But great job, both of you. We can put our glasses away because we're going to move on to something that's an old standard of RHAP. We're going to play a few rounds of Ding, Marry, Kill, but we're going to do it a little bit differently because this past week was the Survivor Loved Ones Challenge. And what I thought we would do is play a few rounds of Ding, Marry, Kill using not only the loved ones from this season, but famous loved ones from seasons past.
Sister.
Oh my God. Yes. No, Justice Welchel unfortunately did not make the cut.
I'm out. Yes. That's the only person I want to marry.
no justice for Justice, unfortunately. Before we get into it, Paul, what did you think about this season's particular loved ones group?
You know, like we were watching this. My brother was watching it with us, and I think he was the one who said it. He just said, you know, I kind of miss the days when the loved ones would just show up and then they would hug and that would be it. Like the extended Jeff commentary on every single relationship kind of actually brings down the emotional level for me, because there's definitely times on Survivor where the loved ones can like really get to me. But the more that Jeff talks, the more it's like, yeah, you're kind of ruining this. So let's not. So it was fine. It was fun to see some of these people. It was especially fun to see Lauren's sister. But I don't think this is a memorable loved ones meetup by any stretch of the imagination.
Mm-hmm. Lita, what did you think?
I guess I couldn't really place it, but I do know what you mean in recent seasons, the extended Jeff narration, because the best moments are just like those completely raw interactions between the loved ones. The one that gets me every single time I watch it, if I ever need a good cry, is Brenda with her dad, where she says, "You told me to be humble and look how far I got." But like that would have been ruined by Probst being like, there's something about a daughter in her father's arms. It's like, okay. Like,
well, especially when he's using his sexy Jeff voice, which we talked a lot about last week.
Yeah. It's like, okay, like it's fine. We don't need your commentary. That said, I still cried. I always cry. I cried at Devin and his mom, and I actually cried a little bit, at Ryan's, not really because of like his relationship with his dad, but just because like someone reaching their dreams makes me cry in every movie. So Ryan talking about like, I said that we would get here and we did, like, really hit me.
All right, well, let's start looking at these loved ones perhaps in a bit of a different light. So our first set of Ding, Mary, Kill, we have the aforementioned Sunny, who is Lauren's sister. We have Kelly, who is Ben's wife. And we have Devin's mom. So, Paul, between Sunny, Kelly, and Devin's mom, Ding, Mary, Kill.
Oh, sorry, Paul, I'm still, like, waiting for Liana, so, yeah, my bad here. It's very confusing when I have to, you know, both manage this place and then also have to work the floor. It kind of sucks. But definitely going to marry Sunny in this. Like, I go back to that, the preseason stuff with Josh about her explaining about her and her sister. They go to the movie theater, pick up the big bucket of popcorn and bring it home and watch Survivor. Like, that's what I want every night. I want movie theater popcorn in a big bucket watching Survivor every night. So we're definitely going to get married there. Now, who do I have left? I have Devin's mom and
Ben's wife.
And Ben's
I should also mention at the top here, much like Lita did with her reads, we don't want to actually kill anyone. We actually don't want to fornicate with anyone, especially people who are married. We respect those relationships. It's just a fun game we're playing.
speak for yourself, Mike. But
all right. Is that Liana or Paul who said that?
Right, exactly.
Liana had that written in the notes, like, make sure you make it clear that I really
make sure you know that I want to be a homewrecker.
Yeah. Make sure it's clear that I'm not shutting any doors for I don't want to ruin anything for Liana here. So I mean, you just whatever. I'll ding Ben's wife because she's you know, from Idaho, which is our next door neighbor up here in Montana. So sorry, Devin's mom, nothing personal. You seem pretty pleasant, but that's my final answer.
Love thy neighbor. It's a commandment and a rule in Montana, I guess. All right. Lita, what about you? Ding, Mary, Kill.
Okay. I'm going to marry Devin's mom because she seemed really sweet and very nurturing and kind. I guess I'll ding Sunny because I really don't want to kill her, but I really want to marry Devin's mom. You can tell him that. I'm going to kill Ben's wife. She seemed lovely, but if she has that drastically different taste in people than I do, I'm not sure how well we'd get along.
Yeah, I could understand that. I guess, like, it's always an indication of, like, who you choose to spend the rest of your life with, and to each their own. I will say, I really like that moment. We can definitely talk about the challenge itself, but it did get this really, like, pretty emotional moment when Ben and Kelly were reaching into the bag and he was pulling out this black marble with his hand shaking. And you just saw that look on her face when she pulled out this other marble of, like, you could pinpoint the exact moment her heart broke. Another Simpsons reference on this podcast. It was really distressing to watch.
Yeah. I mean, she seemed sweet. She seemed, I mean, maybe she's just extremely gorgeous, but she's very young to be shouldering all of that with Ben, but good for her.
All right, let's move on to the daddies. Oh, ew, God.
Daddy time on the B&B. It's daddy weekend.
I'm going to throw up.
Hey, as the manager here, we're working on promotional stuff. Whatever's going to get people to check in. It's going to be off season soon, and if we have to have a daddy weekend, it's what we're going to do. Keep going.
Daddy discount. All right, let's go. All right, so here are three other guys that came out I'm trying to dig my way out of this hole, digging deep, but these are three guys who also came out for the loved ones visit. Ding, Mary, Kill, Jim, who is Ashley's dad, Steve, who is Ryan's dad, and Keith, who is Chrissy's husband and presumably the father of her children as well. Lita, ding, Mary, Kill.
Okay, you cannot expect me to remember these faces. Like,
well, so Ashley's dad had, like, the very Devin-esque hair, which, again, raises a lot of questions if they do end up doing something.
Okay, sure. Yeah. All right. I remember. And Keith had kind of like Bill. I mean, Ryan's dad had kind of like Bill Clinton hair.
Yeah, been like a pink button down.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, I will marry Christy's husband, Keith. He seemed like a nice man. I will ding Ashley's dad. Feel like he's the kind of guy that won't call the next day, so that won't really be a commitment. And so therefore I will kill Ryan's dad. Sorry, Steve.
Wow, you killed another Survivor fan. How do you feel about that?
It's the Hunger Games out here.
Survivor players love to have blood on their hands, but you quite literally do now.
Yeah.
All right, Paul, what about you?
Paul/Liana, this is a group decision here. I think we're going to fall quite in line with what Lita said, but I think for some different reasons. One, definitely going to marry Chrissy's husband. That husband has a lot of patience. And this is coming from someone who...
is he a doctor?
No, but it's what I don't know what his profession is, but he's patience, got it. I think to be married to Chrissy, he probably is a very patient person. So, and this is coming from someone who really enjoys Chrissy, but I mean, I think he probably handles her very well, and he'd be a very patient spouse. So I'm going to go with that. And then I think I'm also going to ding Ashley's dad. He kind of seems like kind of a freak, like kind of a little like crazier, more fun. Like,
well, what gave you that impression?
The hair, the look, the eyes. I mean, you didn't feel it, Mike?
I was not getting and exuding any sort of freakiness from him. Maybe Bryce was on the podcast a week too early. He could have deemed Ashley's father the freakiest freak.
I mean, you could throw a Krampus costume on him and have some fun for Christmas. I mean, there's some different possibilities there. He just seemed more fun than Ryan. So sorry, Ryan's dad, you got to go. There's more intrigue there with Ashley's. But if you want to be discreet, maybe Ryan's dad would be the way to go, because there was not a lot happening there as far as what we heard. So
makes him discreet.
I guess so.
Like, he's really good at keeping secrets because he didn't have a big personality.
Right. Well, we know if Cole's dad is probably the worst at keeping secrets, if we're being completely honest.
Yes.
Oh, I want to see Cole's dad.
Ding that for sure.
Now I'm
sight unseen.
Yeah.
Sight unseen would do on paper. All right. So we talked about this season's loved ones. Let's talk about some loved ones from seasons past. Here's the first group: Ding, Mary, Kill, Thunder D, Colby's brother Reed, my showmance from an alternate timeline, and assistant coach Lita. What do you have there?
I'm googling Reed Donaldson. Nothing's coming up. Well,
he's related
LinkedIn.
To Colby, so you can kind of picture it,
I guess, but I don't really remember. Come on, Reed. Speaking of reading challenges,
come on, Lita, let's do this. Come on.
I will marry Reed because reading is fundamental. My God, I don't remember what assistant coach looks like either, but I'll ding him because that's hilarious. And also because I'm not really a fan of Thunder D. Much like Sandra, I can see right through his BS. So I'll kill Thunder D.
Seems like you two would be a match made in heaven, you and Thunder D. Shocking.
Thunder D and Lita Lightning. It totally works out.
And then at his funeral, I can say he died, dude.
Yeah, would you go to Johnny Fairplay's house and say, like, where's Thunder D? Like, I'm so sorry, he didn't make it.
Yeah, when Fairplay is on some legend season of Survivor, I come out as his loved one and tell him, he's like, where's Thunder D? He died, dude.
That would actually be a fun moment, because he would say, like, wait, who the hell are you? Yeah. Like, it wouldn't even be a loved one. It'd be some random, like, emissary.
It's Survivor law. If you kill someone's loved one, you become their loved one.
Yes, I love that we're going with my Highlander rules for loved ones. Yes. All right, Paul, what about you? Ding, Mary, Kill, Thunder D, Reed Donaldson. I almost shipped them there, and assistant coach.
We're going to marry the assistant coach. You know, assistant coach is someone who's by your side the whole time, there to help you through thick and thin. Going to marry him. I think we're going to ding Reed, because if he's learned anything from the relationship between Colby and his mom, maybe he won't be too bad. Which leaves Thunder D to kill.
Isn't the challenge that they lost like throwing buckets of water to each other.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was going to make some terrible joke about that in the bedroom, but it's like not even worth it. So let's move on.
Well, Paul, you mentioned Colby's mom. Let's go to the mommy moments here for our next group.
Ding and Mary. Oh, no. Ding and Mary. Ding and Mary.
We've got Colby's mom. We've got Matthew von Ehrtfeld's mother. And we've got Abby Maria's mother. Ding, Mary, kill, Paul.
Oh, you know, Matthew's mom was like super like no nonsense, like really kind of like, you know, slapped him upside the head, like, stop it, you're being weird type of thing. So I feel like that's somewhat similar to the marriage I'm currently in terms of someone who keeps me in line in a very loving way. Like, Alice does not put up with my, like, she'll call me on my BS and those types of things. So I think she's probably the most similar to my actual wife. So I'm going to go with Mary Matthew's mom. And then, I mean, as fun as Abby Maria's mom is, you got to ding Colby's mom. Like, that's something you can say, put that on your resume. Like, you remember Colby, Survivor 2? His mom? Yeah. Dinged her. Yeah. So
who are you impressing with that? Who are your friends?
He's impressing 10-year-old Paul is what he's doing. He's going to go back in time and say, listen, you see that woman drinking coffee while staring at her son in the back of a Pontiac Aztec? You're going to nail that.
I'm impressing all the people that you go onto Facebook and type in Survivor Online Community Group search.
I love Matthew's mother would be the one to make him believe in Krampus until he's like 26 years old. All right, Lita, what about you? Ding, Mary, kill.
So I'm going to marry Colby's mom, namely because I remember her, like I remember what she looks like, and her being very sweet. And then Colby is my son, which I've really always wanted. And I guess, oh, poor Abby Maria's mom. I'm not going to kill her. She has been through enough. So I'll ding her and kill poor Matt's mom.
You just better be sure to like break it off easy with Vera, because I'm pretty sure Abby Maria would like come after you with a baseball bat if you ever like ghosted her.
Yeah. Oh no, I don't want to ghost her. It's long distance. You know, she lives so far away. It wouldn't work.
Yeah. How's your Portuguese?
I would say not good in Portuguese, but I literally cannot.
I mean, the language of love transcends any sort of barriers. Let's move on to our third group here. We're going back to the daddies. We've got the daddy well. Ooh, let's not let it dry up.
Mike, you acted so weirded out by this concept, and now you're really pushing this hard.
Really leaning into it.
I gotta commit now.
You're working a double. You're working a double on Daddy Weekend. I already have it scheduled.
Yeah, I'm a double agent for the daddies. All right, so we've got HB, Cerie's husband. Mm. We've got Eddie George, Taj's husband, and we've got Cochran's dad, the grill master. Lita, ding, Mary, kill.
Oh my god, I don't remember what Cochran's dad looks like either. This is a problem. This is just showing how shallow I am.
He's really cool. He's really cool with the sunglasses.
He's cool, mellow.
Yeah, like it was Cochran made the big deal about how
the opposite of his son, essentially.
Right.
Never mind. I googled Cochran's dad, and just what came up was LinkedIn with a guy named Dad Cochran.
Wait, who put their name on LinkedIn as dad?
I don't know. I really hope it's actually Cochran's dad.
Ooh, maybe you can book him for the B&B weekend. Like, we don't have the actual Cochran or Cochran's dad.
So we've got a man named Dad Cochran.
Well, you just got a notification that I'm looking at his LinkedIn profile because I forgot I'm not on private. But anyway, I'm going to marry HB because he's great, and I had the privilege and the honor of meeting Cerie recently. So, you know, maybe I'm not trying to break them up, so maybe like the three of us could have some kind of arrangements, then I would get to live with Cerie. I will ding Eddie George. We both hate the outdoors, so we already have that in common. And yeah, I'm sorry, Dad Cochran. I'll connect with you on LinkedIn, but I will have to kill you.
I'm looking at Dad Cochran right now. Dad Cochran is a barber from Monticello, Indiana.
Ooh.
Incredible.
So wait, he's in this game or he's not?
No. Well, Dad Cochran can be a last minute substitution if need be. Paul, if you want to sub him in,
I was going to say that might mix up some of my my choices here. But OK, we'll stick to the three actual loved ones. And I mean, definitely. How do you not marry HB? Like, I mean, that's like a no brainer. And Eddie George is like pretty epic. I feel like that opportunity presents itself. That may impress a few more people than the Colby's mom thing. I'm not sure, though. It's probably pretty close with the number of people you can impress by saying that you dinged Eddie George. And so then
because he's actually famous.
Right. Well, yeah, he's like an actual celebrity. So then I guess that leaves poor Cochran's dad off to the side. See you later. I'm waiting for Dad Cochran.
Yeah, save yourself for Dad Cochran. And yeah, Eddie George is such a celebrity that when we did the Token Sheens Historians podcast, even Paul knew who Eddie George was when they talked about it.
Wow. Yeah, I forgot he was famous. I mean, to me, he's an A-list celebrity because he's Taj's husband. So I forget about his secondary football career or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. And I will say, I would agree with all of those. I would definitely marry HB as well, because you have to, the man has a lot of commitment in his relationships. When he was able to tail Sari and her son to this event with 500 screaming Survivor fans. Last group here, and really, I saved the creme de la creme, the best for last, but we're going to mix up the genders here a little bit. Ding, marry, kill, Cece Heidick, Bucky Bo, Tom Buchanan's son, and Sean Hance. Paul, what have you got?
God. Well, I mean, the Hance is, that's pretty obvious where that one goes, right? But then you have to get, Mike, creme
yep,
de la creme.
This is the Rafe's choice that I have presented to you guys.
This is like waiting for Saint Nick to come and then you're getting beat by Krampus.
You mean Krampus beats you in basketball?
No, he puts me in a bag and beats me with his sticks. I guess Mary Cece, but no, I mean, I feel like last time that happened, she punched her husband in the face.
Yeah.
So I guess you can't marry hers. I guess you ding her, you know, as what did Clay call her? As some, she's made for the bikinis. So I guess you got to jump on that. And then I guess you marry Bo, the lesser of two evils here. He's pretty fun, I guess. And so I guess that means you kill off the Hance, which that's kind of the no-brainer there. So that was not a fun finale, Mike. No Christmas bonus for you this year.
I'm so sorry.
All right. So I'm also going to kill the Hance. That's a no-brainer. But I did Google Cece Hance, and what came up was a 2002 article, Wife Beats Up TV Survivor, where I guess she punched Brian in the face. So that kind of makes me want to marry her, because it was a punch, but not a crime, I think, in the case of Brian Heidick. No, I'm just kidding. Don't come for me. It's not okay to punch your husband, anyone. But I don't know. I guess I'll marry her and no, I'll ding her and marry Bucky Bo. Sure.
Perfect. Yeah, Lita, you'd fit in right in on the goat farm.
Yeah, I'm sure. Oh, God, he's a farmer. Oh, this is a nightmare.
I told you to save the best for last.
Yeah, that was mean. Like, none of those were even like, ooh, like most of those were just upsetting. Yeah.
If I had to buff or snuff the segment, I snuff it. Mike, your final choice.
I thought
there.
It was going to be like Malcolm's brother or whatever. It's like, oh, he's fine. He seems fun. These were like alarming.
That wouldn't be fun at all. So personally, what I would do is I probably marry Bucky Bo because I feel like he has a good, stable, like agrarian lifestyle. I would ding Sean Hance because you know what's going to happen. If I ding Sean Hance, Russell Hance is going to suggest I get into the Survivor Hall of Fame. So I feel like that's like a good express path to that sort of ultimate destination. And then unfortunately, that sort of leaves Cece out by default.
Sorry, Cece. This is probably the most extensively she's ever been discussed on a podcast, though.
That being said, let's move on from the loved ones into our next segment. Paul, what have you got in store?
All right. Liana and I are going to take you all back to the casual corner. Love to hear what the casuals are saying on the CBS. I'm not sure if this is from the CBS Facebook page or something. I'm sure that's where she pulled these from here. We have six different questions we'll run through here. You each will answer three. Get it right, you get a point. And I really hope you don't make me go to a tie because I don't have a tiebreaker question. So don't do that to me, okay?
Now, okay. Is this casuals corner, or did you just ask your mom these questions?
Right. Well, if I had more time for preparation for this, we could have just done a like casual Paul's mom corner and just had a bunch of her comments about the show. So.
Who deserved to burn in hell for what they did?
Yes. How many names did she recall from this episode? It was a record. She could name three of the six remaining contestants.
Wow.
Did she give nicknames to the other three instead of being like, oh, yeah, who is that one? Blondie.
Well, I just remember with the whole JP boot. She's like, who's he? Wait, who is that? I don't know who that is. Like, no idea. So, right. So let's start with our guest here, Lita. So here's how it's going to work. I have four comments made about a certain topic about the episode. And three of these are actual, real, casual comments. And one of them is one that Liana cooked up. Are you ready for your first question?
Yes.
All right. So the first topic we're going to dive into is Ryan and his appearance. I'm checking if there's anything about his teeth. It's going to be a dead giveaway. So let me check this here. Okay, no, nothing about his teeth. So we're in the clear on this one. So Ryan and his appearance. Comment number one: he's so skinny and bone. Take him out of his misery.
Okay.
Number two: it's amazing this skinny dude has survived this long.
Okay.
Number three, Ryan needs a big old plate of BBQ, or maybe it's pronounced barbecue. And four, man, Ryan, you need an all-you-can-eat buffet with that dollar sign. You're going to win. You can yum. Dot, 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 dot.
I'll be so mad if Liana made that one up. That's got to be real. That's too weird. I'm going to say that the BBQ one is fake.
Very keen. She was thinking, not thinking about teeth. She's thinking about eating, I guess. Here, you are correct. The barbecue one was definitely Liana.
What, you can yum is such a weird phrasing.
Can you yum, Mike?
Do you even yum, bro?
Yeah, I don't even yum. I haven't gotten into yumming, really. I'm more of an mmm man myself.
Where do you yum? With whom do you yum? These like all the questions, like when it's like a new verb I teach, like in German.
Yeah,
it's like,
conjugating. I yum. Conjugated. She yums.
We yum. You yum. They yum. Okay, well, let's see if you can keep up with Lita here. Mike, are you ready for your question?
Yum.
Hey, we're going to talk about Mario Lanza's favorite topic here, idols.
Woo!
So here are the four comments about idols. Number one, first rule of Idol Club is you don't talk about Idol Club / Stoops.
What?
Stupes.
Oh.
Stoops.
Oh, like stupid.
Well, it's either stupid or like short for like stupefying, which
well,
I guess is one and the same.
Why
if you're,
it be
if you're talking
short
about
for
like
stupefying.
And if we really want to like dive into how it's written, so it's like we go first rule of Idol Club, comma, is all caps. You don't talk. Back to lower caps, about Idol Club / period space Stoops exclamation point.
Did someone just fall on their keyboard while they were making that comment off?
So that's your number one.
Okay.
Number two, too many idols. Get rid of them and bring back fishing challenges.
Okay, there was one fishing challenge in Amazon, but...
Bring them back. Number three... I swear they're trying to pull an Oprah with the hidden immunity idols. You get an idol and you get an idol.
All
number
right.
four. She should have kept Abd played idol.
What was that last one?
So we're getting a alternate spelling of and where it's actually ABD. So it's she should have kept Abd played idol.
But there's not even like an article she should, because everyone, she should have kept and played idol. Like it's a very, I don't know if a caveman has learned to start watching Survivor and type out comments. So I'm between
she should have kept and played idol and yummed.
and Yum Stoops. So in between the Fight Club reference, the Oprah reference, the broken English, and what was the second one again?
The fishing challenges.
Oh boy, I feel like the I don't think she'd pick the third one again. But my mind is fixated on the Oprah thing because I feel like she would make that type of reference. So I'm going to go with number three again.
You are incorrect. The fake comment was about the fishing challenges.
Ooh, I thought for some reason that, sometimes casuals love the Aussie. They love the Rupert. They're like, we want to bring back the fishing because that's what we love about our favorite Survivor players.
Right. Nope. Fishing is on the mind of Liana here on that one. So sorry, Mike, you don't get the point. Lead us up by one.
Yeah, I feel pretty Stoops right now.
You need like a slash period Stoops. Abd. Okay. Lita, are you ready for your second question?
I am.
All right, now we're going to talk about Dr. Mike. Here are your four comments. Number one, I love Dr. Mike. He is flat wicked! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point.
I'm sorry, he is flat wicked?
He is flat wicked. And wicked is in all caps, if that helps you determine.
Are these people from some like small European country that like almost speaks English?
That's like before I taught German, I taught kindergarten for a while. And when I was teaching kindergarten, I find like, oh, here's a great like educational video. And it was like really sketchy videos made from Eastern Europe where it was like almost English. But it was like, here's a Halloween video. And they're like, oh, put candy in my cauldron. And all the kids are like, what's a cauldron? So I feel like this does have that like slight
JP cauldron.
JP cauldron, JP2. Also, cauldron died, unfortunately, in Game of Thrones season one as well. But yeah, this totally sounds like a Facebook bot of like, he is flat wicked. I love Dr. Monk.
Flat wicked, man.
So, okay, so that's your first one. We got three more to go here. Okay. Number two, Dr. Mike won the internet. One of the greatest love stories of all time. Now, I do want to highlight the way this is written here. So we have doctor without a period after the doctor. So Dr. Mike.
So Dermike.
Right, Dermike, all caps, won the internet. We go back to lowercase, but now we have quotation marks. One of the greatest love stories of all time.
Okay.
Okay, that's your number two. Number three, somebody give Dr. Mike a clean shirt. I bet he stinks bad.
Mm. Okay.
And number four, someone comes to him with a plan, and he starts bragging about Dr. Mike doing a big move. It's hilarious. He's just super likable in a deluded, braggadocio way.
Ooh.
Okay, yeah. That last one seems a little highbrow. I don't know if Liana would... throw that hat.
Bragging to lose the G, so he starts bragging. So,
braggandocio, yeah. Braggandocio is the name of the Halloween video, Paul, that you tried to show your kindergartners.
Right, in which the grandma says, the kids say, trick or treat, and she says, but I have a treat, but first, you must do a trick. And then they do a couple flips, and then they get their candy.
Oh, I didn't realize that's what trick or treat meant.
That's trick and treat.
This episode is so holiday centric.
Okay, so they said he bragging what?
Okay, so for number four, someone comes to him with a plan. He starts bragging about Dr. Mike doing a big move. It's hilarious. He's just super likable in a deluded braggadocio way.
Braggadocio. I'm gonna just go with my gut and say Liana wrote that last one.
She did not. She comes from the random Eastern European country. She wrote the one about the flat wicked.
Flat wicked.
I had a hunch because last time we did this a few weeks ago with Puya, she pulled out like holy buckets. I wonder if she like found flat wicked on some sort of other NPR podcast and used it in her vernacular.
Ah, oh, flat wicked. Okay. All right. That's fine. I'll take the L.
So sorry. No point for you, Lita. You stay at one. Mike, this is your chance to catch up. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah, I'm the underdog right now. I'm going to claw my way up from the bottom like Chrissy Ryan and Dr. Mike.
All right, well, this topic is confused, so I don't know if this is just like four completely confused. Oh, I think the theme of this is casuals who are confused about the episode. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Number one, I thought Ryan was voted out last week. Did they bring him back? Comma, what? Question mark. Number two. Okay, I'm confused. Did I miss like half a season here? We are already merged and having the loved ones episode? Question mark. WTF? Question mark. You know, my mom could have written this. Like, it'll be three episodes into the merge. And she's like, are they merged? I'm like, yep, mom. As of 3 weeks ago. So number two is someone's confused about that they're already merged and have the loved ones. Number three. So how come I missed the episode where Joe was sent home? On November 29th, it was JP. And on December 6th, Lauren. When was Joe's episode aired?
That is confusing.
Mm-hmm. And there's no logical explanation for that. And number four, who left? ... I switched channels and missed who went. LOL.
Why would you switch channels at the end of the episode?
That's your own damn fault.
Yeah. Oh, I gotta really check out how I don't even know what else. I want to see how Empire ends. You gotta catch up what happens to Cookie.
That just sounds like someone complaining in Parks and Rec. Like, I'm mad. I don't know who got voted out. I switched the channel right before the end of the episode, and I'm pissed.
Yeah, so I went to the Facebook page and asked the literal internet who left.
So what are you thinking, Mike? Which one of these was a fake Liana comment?
I feel like the date one is too specific. I don't feel like a casual would go back to their calendar and try to do like a whole lawyer routine of like, on November 29th, JP was voted out. And on this date, Lauren was voted out. Where was the missing vote? So I'm going to say that's the fake.
Liana continues to slay. That is incorrect. Liana wrote the one about the first one. I thought Ryan was voted out last week. Did they bring him back?
I thought it would be really fun. What if they did? Ryan got voted out. All right. Do over. Ryan, come back out.
Well, it shows you the show could really play with the format and not most of the casual base would not really, you know, be able to follow what's going on. So there is that.
Yeah, that person also seems like they would have just been fine with that. They're like, wait, oh, did they bring Ryan back? All right.
Yeah, well, that way he has enough money so he can yum.
Yeah, you need a lot of money.
In order to yum. All right, so Lita, you get this question right. You win this challenge. Are you ready?
I'm so ready.
Well, speaking of challenge, this is about the loved ones challenge. Here are your four comments. Number one, do they get to pull rocks out of a bag? Question mark.
I mean, they get to.
Yes, they get to, and we get to watch.
Okay.
Number two, I have an idea for a challenge. ... We should ... Wait for it. ... Have the contestants pull marbles. ... Wait for it. ... Out of a bag. ...
All right. Well, that was obviously John Kierhofer, so that one's real.
John Kierhofer, like between like taking deep breaths, it seems. Talking like Stevie from Malcolm in the Middle.
Number three, anyone else think the challenge was going to involve some sort of three-legged race? Question mark. That takes me back to Courtney Yates before she played in China and some of her pregame stuff on CBS.com. She like refers to the challenges as like, you know, we're going to do these like, you know, balance an egg on a spoon race and those types of things. And I remember being like, oh, God, this girl doesn't know what's coming. Okay, so then number four, the last one for this question. The host said they were going to run the challenge. Did they run with the marbles? Question mark.
What? Okay, a lot of these just don't really make sense.
So to recap, one is did they pull rocks out of the bag? Two,
do they get to pull rocks out of the bag?
Or do they get, yeah, what is do they get to pull rocks out of the bag? Two is the dramatic reading of, you know, John Kierhofer's like vision for this.
Right.
Number three is the three-legged race. And number four is, did they run with the marbles? How witty.
Did they run with... I'll say, did they run with the marbles is fake.
You are correct. You have won this game. Congratulations, Lita.
Hooray. I love... Did anyone else think they were going to three-legged race? No. No one else thought that.
Well, I guess when so a lot of people were confused, and we could probably take a second to talk about the challenge as well as we're sort of winding this game down. As Jeff said, you know, you're running this challenge in pairs. Maybe this person also took a page out of that witty jokester in the last comment and said, like, oh, maybe this means they're going to do a three-legged race because there's nothing else around. What did you guys think about that challenge?
I hated it.
I mean, I was like, I feel like I didn't hate it as much as like most people did. It was like, fine, whatever. And I'm glad, like, if we're going to spend so much time on the front end of that challenge, then I'm glad that, you know, the challenge itself went pretty fast. But I don't think we need to do this again.
But there are really fast challenges. Even if you wanted to do literally the exact same thing, but they get to choose which rock they hold out. So at least there's like an element of agency where it's still pure luck. You have to hold out the same rock as your loved one. But maybe like you're just in sync and you would know that you both pick white. Like, you know, at least something than just picking something completely randomly.
Yeah, preferably, I would have liked for them to do, again, this might be a completely different challenge, but almost like what they do with the Big Brother Final HOH, which we've done a couple times actually here on B&B, of like going back to the newlywed format for Lita's beloved Thunder D, of like, oh, what would this person say is the thing that they love the most about you? A, this, or B, this. Pick the white for A, pick the black for B. Like, I feel like that would be, I do agree with you, Paul, that like, I'm totally fine with like the simplicity of it, and you know, I like when they try new ideas, but I just want like a little bit of skill involved, even if it's just the tiniest bit of skill.
I'm so glad I won Casual Corner. This really
congratulations on that. And I have to just quickly, Mike, you don't get the chance to actually answer this question because you can't win, but there were a couple good ones here in her potpourri section she had here. I'll read two of these actual comments on the page. The first one being, I just can't believe after 30 days of Devin. Or sorry, I just can't believe after 30 days, Devin smokes so much that he is still high, dude. Okay. And my personal favorite comment about this episode on the CBS Facebook page reads, don't let this distract you from the fact that in 1966, Al Bundy scored 4 touchdowns in a single game while playing the Polk High School Panthers in the 1966 City Championship game versus Andrew Johnson High School, including the game-winning touchdown in the final seconds against his old nemesis, Bubba Spare Tire Dixon.
I would never let this distract me from that.
Don't worry, was not distracted by that.
So does that comment win the Paulie for the week in terms of most WTF casual comment?
Yes. So
wait, I've been trying to figure out Al Bundy. So is this like I haven't watched a lot of Married with Children. Was this like a veiled Married with Children joke/reference?
Sure, Mike. Don't get distracted by that, please.
I guess I did get distracted with it, it seems. While I look up Bubba Spare Tire. Oh, wait, it is. I'm looking it up right now. Yeah, Spare Tire Dixon is Al Bundy's rival. So apparently this guy decided to distract the casual audience by making a reference to a random episode of Married with Children.
Well, Mike, this is why you are one of the B's in the B&B, that you can, you know, really talk about everything that Survivor fans are talking about.
Including Married with Children.
The B stands for Bubba and for Bundy. All right, let's move on to the final segment of this week and every week here on the RHAP B&B, the question of the week. Last week's question of the week, name Survivor's next comedy duo. So pick two players, doesn't need to play on the same season. And if you want to, for extra credit, talk about the routines that they do. As per usual, we'll read through the responses that you, the listeners, wrote, and then we'll go down the line and read off our own responses. First from Dan Sinensky, my Survivor comedy duo is the vaudeville team of Neil Gottlieb and Ronnie Lavoie Jr., Ice Cream and Tuna Fish. Dressed in styles of the Gilded Age, Neil plays a millionaire dandy who consistently gets bested by his streetwise butler, Rodney. I'm not gonna lie, I kinda love that.
I am glad one of my original ideas also involved Neil Gottlieb. It was going to be like Key and Peele, but Lee and Neil, where it's like Mookie Lee and Neil Gottlieb. So that would have been overkill.
Ah, you deprived yourself of an opportunity to use Mookie on the B&B.
Well, he got a name drop there.
Next from the great Shut Up Tim, Jen Lyons and Jen Brown as Dead or Alive.
Oh, my God.
Listen, this was the tamer of Tim's two responses.
Tim, what are you doing? I was getting ready for my Krampus tongue, whatever, lashing for this, but I couldn't bring myself to do it because it was so horrible.
No. Yeah, keep that tongue back in your mouth, Paul. Gregory McBean says, fishmonger Lydia and fan favorite Sierra Dawn Thomas have started a show where they fish while riding on a horse. They call themselves the Sheriffs of the Pancake.
I can't remember what's my
what was that other noise you were making?
Well, I started doing that and I was like,
is that your yum noise?
Sorry, I was yumming for I meant to do the Krampus thing and then I accidentally yummed, so sorry about that.
Yeah, do you give that a yum instead of a stoops?
Yes,
on a scale from stoops to yum.
Finally, from Garrett, Keith Nail and Shane Powers as Abbott and Costello, their best routine, woos on first.
Oh my god.
I appreciated that. I'll give it the that's a yum. All right, Lita, what is your Survivor comedy duo?
Okay, so you've heard of Cheech and Chong. Well, now get ready for the classic comedy duo, Meesh and Dawn. It's hilarious. It's Michelle Fitzgerald and Dawn Meehan. They have a bit where Dawn takes out her teeth and blows smoke. It's amazing.
Lita, you took mine.
I did.
I was going to do Meesh and Chonga with Michelle Fitzgerald and Sandra. So well, I'll do Meech and Chonga, Michelle Schubert from Millennials versus Gen X, and Sandra. Michelle brings out the dragon and Sandra slays it and yells at Coach.
Interchangeable there with those.
All right, yeah. Paul, do you have a Survivor comedy duo?
Well, my idea for this was just, you know, last week on your last episode, we talked about the J3s. And so I was like thinking of something with the Ash. Well, it has to be a duo, but I'm thinking like the Ash threes or something with Ashleys, and just really kind of like a rotating panel of forgettable Ashleys who've been on the show, which that kind of seems to be a prerequisite. Like if you're named Ashley, you're not going to like make a splash on Survivor. So I kind of have this like duo or threesome of just like random Ashleys of like your favorite Ashley Ashby from Palau, mm-hmm. with Ashley Trainer from Survivor Samoa, Ashley Underwood from Redemption Island, maybe Ashley from China. She's probably the most memorable, but she gets out early too. And then, you know, obviously Ashley from this season. It's just kind of a rotating panel. Like, it doesn't matter. They're just like some of the Ashleys.
Yeah. Who can make a splashly from that group? Who knows?
Yes.
All right. Next week's Survivor question of the week. In lieu of the challenge we just discussed, create the most minimalist Survivor challenge that can still be an entertaining thing to watch on the show. I really liked your suggestions from a couple weeks ago of create your own endurance challenge. So we're going to put on our John Kierhofer hat once more and maybe take a few puffs of that inhaler so we don't need to take as deep breaths while talking. But try to create the most minimalist challenge that you can put on a Survivor episode. You have a bunch of ways to respond to the question of the week. You can always tweet to us using the hashtag RHAPBNB. You can also respond to the post in the Rob Has an Awesome Patrons Facebook group. You can also respond to the post on Reddit or on the robhasawebsite.com. You've got a bunch of different places to post both the answer to the question of the week and giving us your general feedback and thoughts about the B&B as well. We're closing in on the last couple weeks on this season, but we'd love to hear your thoughts as to what you'd like to see happen on the B&B as well. Lita, thank you so, so much for coming on and reading and writing and doing some arithmetic possibly at one point, maybe with that date question before. We had so much fun. How can people follow you on social media and what have you been working on?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. I'm sad that I didn't get to play the How Well Do You Know Colin Stone game. I think that would be a good
Should we make that a weekly game?
yeah, just How Well Do You Know Colin Stone, no matter who you are. You can find me on Twitter at Lita Tweeted and on Instagram at Lita Grammed. You can look for all of my podcasts in the Wrap Ups feed. My shows are all unfortunately over, but I got to guest on the LFC Roundtable last week, so I'm here and there. And then you can find my Survivor recaps on myentertainmentworld.ca. I write those every week.
Do you want to talk a little bit about the previous papers you've written as well about Survivor that are published on a couple of different websites?
Sure. Yeah. You can find my undergraduate thesis, which now is a little outdated, but, still relevant. I think, I wrote about the impact of race and gender in Survivor. It's sort of a statistical analysis on how that affects placement. So that is up on robhasawebsite.com. And also on myentertainmentworld.ca, you can find, I wrote a piece about the legacy of Jeri Manthe and how she has influenced reality TV villainy and femininity since her time in Australia.
Do you mention Krampus in there at all or no?
Yeah, this the OG Krampus.
I would love to write like a, you know, I don't know, in the appendix or something, like add some extra like Krampus stuff in there if you need it.
Okay, yeah, you can write the footnotes.
3 out of 10, not enough Krampus.
That's like the Goodreads review.
I actually need to go read that because I love me some Jeri Manthe, so.
Me too.
Paul, thank you so much for stepping out of the shadows of the general manager position to work on the floor. I hope you enjoyed your time here. How can people follow you on social media?
You can find me on Twitter. It's just at Paul Aslason. So that's Paul and then A-S-L-E-S-O-N.
So be sure to check Paul out. Paul will also be on the B&B next week. I will not be, as I'll be on the main feed doing the voicemails with Rob, and there is only so much Mike Bloom anyone can take. Paul will be back here with Liana, who should hopefully be home in time, and our guest for next week, the great John Krause, another So You Think You Win podcast competitor and a Big Brother podcaster in his own right, big Survivor fan as well. So we're excited to have John on for this penultimate week of Survivor. You can follow me on Twitter at a Mike Bloom type. Be sure to check out all the stuff I'm doing on parade.com, Survivor exit interviews. I just posted a cast preview for The Amazing Race 30. The cast dropped last week, should be coming out in a few weeks, and I've started doing exit interviews for this season of Top Chef as well, so that should be coming up in the next couple weeks. The Top Chef judges roundtable is going to be back. We're going to be recording later on this weekend. Myself, Kurt Clark, and Haley Strong will be breaking down the Top Chef 15 premiere. Really excited to be covering that as well. You can also check out I just finished doing Stranger Things with Jay and Jack. I do podcasted about Club Dread for the Hamster Factor, and I'll be covering this week's episode of SNL with yet another sub by Paul Aslason. He'll be talking with me about the James Franco episode that's airing tonight.
Yay, I can't wait. So, you know, the tribe went off the air officially, but, you know, if you do follow the tribe, there may be something special for you coming soon in regards to the tribe. But not being on a podcast every week, it's been kind of like, you know, I pop up every like month or month and a half to do something. And like the next 2 weeks, I'm booked up for 3 podcasts. I don't know how you do this crazy schedule, Mike Bloom.
Yes, when it snows, it blizzards, much like the unfortunate weather that kept Liana Boris at bay in Texas. Feel free to send Liana a message as well at Liana Boris on Twitter, LianaBoras. We missed you this week, Liana. Safe travels back, and we can't wait to talk to you next week. Again, thank you both so much for coming on. Thank you all for listening. Again, let us know your thoughts. Use hashtag RHAPBNB. Special thanks to Scott St. Pierre for editing all this stuff behind the scenes. Thank you all again. Take care. Bye-bye.
Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if this all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the RHAPBNB. Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if this all sounds cool.